Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. Here is Corey Hawley in this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 17, Number 3. In the last edition of Clinical Review, my topic was PSN Number 41, Why Take Supplements? And remember, PSN is an acronym for Principles of Sports Nutrition, and there are 110 of them. No study has ever confirmed the assumption that we get everything we need from food alone, and no study ever will, because you can't. If you spend some time in research, and I mean, you know, more than just 5 minutes, you'll find hundreds of surveys and clinical investigative studies performed in dozens of countries by specialists in functional medicine, not conventional medicine, because they're looking at the wrong stuff. You got to look at the right stuff, that prove that our population is suffering because of simple dietary deficiencies. These deficiencies, including suboptimal intakes of trace elements and insufficient quantities of omega-3 fatty acids, vitamins, minerals, and amino acids, cause malnutrition, and malnutrition affects recovery performance and lowers resistance to infection and disease. The correlation between this reality and the high incidence of degenerative disease, obesity, and depression is undeniable. Even with a high-quality, reliable food supply, and that is absolutely not a given. Man, I was just down in LA watching people eat, and they just shovel in the garbage. Just the refined processed garbage and tons of sugar and tons of trans fats and tons of white flour. I mean, it's just bizarre. But anyway, based on the current science of nutritional pharmacology, it makes perfect sense to reinforce the best possible diet with supplements. Dietary supplements are what I call the intelligent choice. On this edition of Clinical Review, my topic is PSN number 42, Build Strength. Human beings have always been fascinated with physical strength. Accounts of giants and powerful men of battle date back to the beginning of recorded history. In the late 1800s and early 1900s, feats of strength performed by strong men such as Eugene Sandow, Louis Cyr, and Sigmund Klein became very popular. Sales of weightlifting equipment skyrocketed wherever these men performed. It seemed that every circus and city festival had the attraction of the world's strongest man. And of course, the world's strongest man today at the Arnold Classic is incredibly popular and highly entertaining and quite phenomenal to watch, actually. Our Paleolithic cousins, who consumed more omega-3s than omega-6s, burned body fat for energy more efficiently than us, and maintained a leaner, more muscular physique than we do with a rapid metabolic rate. Ketosis, that's the buzzword right now, ketogenic diets, ketosis. This is not new, it's old, that's being made like it's new. Ketosis allowed early human hunters to function with high energy and physical strength in much the same way as other predators and carnivorous animals. I mean, you can still see these predatorial carnivorous animals today in the wild. Just head down to your local neighborhood gym. Energy, that's what life and health is all about, is to our lives and performance what the sun is to the solar system, or the atom is to the makeup of matter. Energy is what propels us, motivates us, and keeps us alive. It alone determines the frequency of everyone's participation in sport, influencing both the volume of training and the intensity of exercise. Fatigue is the athlete's greatest enemy. Energy controls the initiation and outcome of every process associated with human performance. Its presence in surplus or its chronic absence represents the greatest limiting factor responsible for strength, endurance, stamina, growth, recovery, and state of mind. Kinetic energy is associated with the motion of any object, which is determined by its mass and velocity. Einstein's equation states that E equals mc squared. Everyone has heard that. But very few people actually know what it means. Translated, energy equals mass, your mass, anything's mass, times velocity, speed of light, squared. Okay? So you take your mass and you multiply it by the speed of light squared, and that's your energy equivalence. So don't ever tell me you got no energy, okay? Velocity measures the rate of the movement of an object in a given direction. So you got to know the difference between these terms, okay? That's velocity. Force is different. Force is that which changes the state of rest or motion of matter. So if you want to push something, that takes force. Power is the rate of performing work in relation to time, or the product of force and velocity. And speed is the distance traveled per unit of time. So time plays a factor. You know, that's the fourth dimension. Strength is a measure of the maximum force or tension generated by a muscle or muscle group. In nature, strength in the material world of atomic structure and matter is classified as compressive. That's pushing on something. Okay, that's the first type of strength, compressive. The second kind of strength is tensile, which is pulling something apart. And then the third type of strength is shear. You know, wow, he's got sheer strength, man. That's when you twist a phone book in half with your hands. That's sheer strength. In the world of human performance, strength measures how much you can lift, whereas power measures how quickly you can lift it. So they're two different things, strength and power. Both can be measured and both work together in a symbiotic way to enhance your capacity and performance. Athletes who understand the importance of Einstein's equation know that speed of mass or matter is enormously important to the production of power and force. If more of you, meaning your matter, is functional force-producing mass or muscle, meaning mass that contributes to the generation of force or power, and less of you is non-force-producing mass, which is body fat, then you're capable of moving faster. So this is why fat in sport is a liability. You can't run as fast, you can't jump as high, and generally, not always, there's exceptions to all rules, you will perform better if you're leaner and more of you is made of tensile strength-producing muscle, bone, and functional tissue. Moving mass takes energy, so any mass that can't pull its own weight is considered a liability in sport. Even big, showy, mere muscle. It looks strong, but when tested for strength and power, it actually produces less force in proportion to its size. That's a critical element there to think about, in proportion to its size. So big, giant muscle might be stronger overall than someone who's smaller and they've got a smaller muscle. But proportionately, if you measure inside each one of them, the small guy with a smaller muscle but with more power-producing fast twitch tissue could be actually, relatively speaking, stronger. So the proportion in its size is relative to the makeup of tissue. So if you have a smaller muscle with more fast twitch speed fibers, it can generate more power than a muscle that's larger with more of the capillaries and the slow twitch fibers, which is common in bodybuilding. A good example is when a bodybuilder shifts from a bodybuilding exercise routine to a power or Olympic lifting routine in preparation for a field event in track and field. The upper arm will begin to decrease in size over time, but increase in strength. In almost every sport other than bodybuilding, muscle size as an objective is far less important than muscle power and performance, because velocity is hindered by excessive mass that lacks the strength to liberate enough force to move it explosively. Bodybuilding is one of the very few sports where strength and power is irrelevant to success. Bodybuilding muscle typically consists of slow twitch endurance fibers, a massive network of capillaries, and of course, fast twitch power fibers. Many bodybuilders are strong, there's no doubt about that. The goal is to create a physique that looks massive, symmetrical, and highly defined. But a physique like that won't score any extra points in the sport of volleyball or field hockey. In these sports, it is speed and power coupled with skill and agility that facilitate victory, not muscle size or the appearance of one's physique. This is important to understand, as many young, inexperienced athletes make the mistake of training like bodybuilders. They go to the gym and copy routines or exercises of people building non-functional mirror muscle for appearance only. Ideally, they should train for power and function from the inside out, with the goal of transferring that power and function onto the field through their body in their respective sport. Now, HMB is a great supplement, and it minimizes the breakdown of protein. It promotes the retention of nitrogen in the cell. But without the anabolic effect of weight-bearing exercise, you could take endless amounts daily and see no increase in muscular strength or size. The only substances that can make you grow directly without progressive resistance training, without bodybuilding, without pumping iron, are steroids, growth hormone, and now genetic manipulation. So you can actually play around with the devil and either add these to that weight training program or don't weight train at all and just, you know, crank. But that path ultimately leads to darkness. Maintaining a positive nitrogen balance is enormously important to building strength. But a positive nitrogen balance cannot be achieved without adequate protein intake. Athletes attempting to increase muscle mass and strength definitely need more protein than their sedentary contemporaries. But if you just dump in more cooked, acid-forming animal protein, you know, denatured protein, as many athletes unknowingly do, without compensating for its biological effects, you'll pay a big price in the end. Under all of that hard-earned muscle, you'll find arteries that are even harder. That's not good. Protein quality and biological value are just as important as protein quantity. A good general goal with protein intake is 2 grams per kilogram of lean body mass per day. And of course, the harder you train and the more frequently you train, the more nitrogen you need to be fixed inside that cell to help cope with the stress and the immune function as it relates to recovering and compensating for the stress of the workouts. As we all know, CrossFit is a functional, popular style of exercise training designed to improve overall performance and fitness. The athlete trains less in terms of volume, but with greater variation and intensity. CrossFit is widely known as a method for building strength and improving overall physical condition. Hippocrates was one of the first to explain the principle behind weight training when he wrote, "That which is used develops, and that which is not used wastes away." The Greek physician Galen described strength training exercises in the 2nd century using an early form of dumbbells known as halteres. Modern weight training may have evolved from the ancient tradition of stone lifting. Weightlifting can be traced back to the beginning of recorded history, where mankind's fascination with physical strength can be found among ancient writings. It has an intimate connection with sport and physical culture, as gladiators, soldiers, and athletes all over the world discovered over time that pushing or pulling heavy objects could increase their existing strength and power. Eventually, the act of lifting itself became a sport. Weight training builds the body and conditions the mind. It's an art form that requires skill, determination, and vision. Pumping iron combined with stretching increases muscular strength, improves circulation, enhances skeletal function, and builds an inward sense of accomplishment and satisfaction. Combined with any type of aerobic exercise, weight training offers the most advanced and complete means to reshape the body and improve muscle tone and muscle quality. Weight training creates the foundation of power, and power is a definite asset in every sport, no matter what your preference. Power is the strength that moves. Training is excellent stress management therapy and provides an intelligent and effective means of compensation for inactivity. And man, if you sit in front of a computer all day, you really got to move, you got to walk, you got to train, you got to get involved in a sport to compensate because it's going to bring you down. According to doctors Evans and Rosenberg, authors of Biomarkers, 10 Determinants of Aging You Can Control, the single most important determinant of biological age is muscle mass, followed by strength, basal metabolic rate, and percentage of body fat. Number one is muscle mass. And how do you increase muscle mass? You train for strength and power. That's how you do it. So let's get our strength on, people. Train with diligence, train progressively, and train with passion. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from English-born American political activist, philosopher, and author of Common Sense, Thomas Paine. The real man smiles in trouble, gathers strength from distress, and grows brave by reflection.